Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200.
Welcome to the Rock Solid Families Podcast. I am Linda Hutchinson here with my husband, Merle. Hi, honey.
Well, hello, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. I am excited to start another series.
I don't know. After you showed me what this series was, this has got trouble written all over it.
Oh, my goodness. It's a great series. It's a parenting series, and it is on the subject of the sex talk.
All right. So, but here's what we've titled it.
Yes.
Sex, the right talk at the right time.
Yes.
So really what we're going to do here is we've got a four-part series. So for the next 4 weeks, we are tackling this more from a parenting perspective about when we talk to our kids, how we approach, so I'm using the word talk, but maybe how we talk as well as approach our kids, given different age groups that they may be in, and developmental readiness of where they are.
Yeah.
And so we're going to break that down. And this is just going to be awesome.
Yeah. And we hope to help parents and grandparents. I mean, this is really important for us, even if our kids are older. It's important for grandparents as well to help sort out some of the confusion. I mean, we really didn't even have to have this conversation much when we were young, but now everything is being challenged and parents are really struggling with the confidence of what they believe and how to speak it and how to teach it. And so we want to give you greater confidence in the way that God has designed and intended for us to really tackle some of these problems and these topics of sex and development and dating and all these kind of things.
All right. So you just added a new component to this.
Yeah.
And I think we should probably discuss that component a little bit. As a disclaimer alert, there's a couple things that we want you to know right up front. Okay. First off, this is Rock Solid Families Podcast. This is associated and part of the Rock Solid Families ministry, a Christian ministry. And so we believe that God's word is the governing word in terms of our behavior and the direction that we need to be moving toward in our life. It's the bar, okay? Mm-hmm. And we also understand that none of us are perfect, right? And so just because you set a bar doesn't mean you jump perfectly over it every single time. It means this is what I'm shooting for. This is where I want to get to. So with that being said, we acknowledge that, man, some of the things, hon, that we're going to talk about, kind of like you said, like, I don't know that, first off, your parents should have always talked to you about or approached these topics that we're going to talk about, but there were a lot of assumptions that could have been made 30 years ago that we can't assume anymore, okay?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that's just going to be difficult.
Yeah, so we're approaching it from a biblical worldview. So if that is not your perspective, if that's not the foundation on which you make decisions and build your life and govern your family, then we're going to have to agree to disagree. But we wanted to put that disclaimer in there, as well as we know these topics are very controversial on some points, and there's going to be a lot of emotion surrounding a lot of these things that we're going to talk about, and it's hard to deal with them when they're in your own home. And so we want to have grace, we want to have understanding. We're not here to judge or condemn you if things are going on in your home and your family, but we just want to help you, really. We just want to help you navigate this really uncertain world of sex and gender, and how do we approach this as parents, Christian parents that God has called us to be.
Yeah, and personally, like, I can tell you that there's even topics that Linda and I have struggled with Just because, and this is the great challenge, we become conditioned to get desensitized mm-hmm. or accepting of certain things. And that happens for so many years that you don't even second guess it. And then you hear something through scripture that is second guessing it. And you start to say stuff like, well, I don't know if I agree with the Bible on this. And again, that's one of those points where we've decided, no, the Bible is going to be our bottom line. Right. And so we just have to hear that. And I guess what I would say, hon, is even if you disagree with maybe what we might present or what the Bible might state, hang in there and try to listen and then try to test it. That's what we have tried to do in our work. We've tried to test different things to see, you know, is this the word just because somebody said it's the word, or does it prove out to be more fruitful and bountiful in life in general? Yeah. And so I think that's where you kind of have to hit the pressure on the questioning.
Yeah, not in the short term, but the long term.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, because a lot of things feel good in the moment.
In the moment, yes, yeah. According to the flesh. Yeah. But before we do that, but we want to go any further, we want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction for their support of the Rock Solid Families podcast and the Rock Solid Families ministry. We're just so thankful for them. And if we're new to you, if this is the first time you've tuned in to us, and we would love to connect with you more. Maybe it's a pushback on something we said. We'd love to dialogue with you. We're not saying we have all the answers. We're saying we're going to God's word for direction and foundation on how we build our lives and our family and how we govern and lead our family well.
Yeah. A couple little announcements here. As we are releasing this, at least the school year is getting rolling. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very familiar with that feel. And many of us would associate the start of the school year with a lot of new anxiety that comes about. And so, you know, if the start of the school year is bringing a lot of new challenges into your home, your kids, you know, and it's more than what you feel like you can wrap your head around, feel free to reach out to us. Yeah. And in saying that, we actually have, you know, somebody that we would consider, I would have considered, and I do consider myself a specialist, all things school with the elementary kids, but some of the deeper things with the trauma, we have Meredith Scudder now on staff. And so when some of our kids are really battling the hard trauma that can go on in life, confusion and those kinds of things, Meredith has just been a real game changer for us. So come on and check us out.
I did some statistic work on our clientele in 2023, and 25% of our clients we've seen just this past year have been under the age of 21. And so a lot of people have this misnomer that Rock Solid Families only deals with families.
Right.
But we work with individuals of all ages, couples and families. And so a fourth of our population are kiddos, teens, young adults under the age of 21. And so we're thankful to have Meredith to kind of help us with some of that load. We both still see teens. You see the teenage boys and me as well. But we're thankful for Meredith to come on board. And, you know, she's going to join us in this sex talk conversation later on, too.
I don't know if she was very excited about that. She seemed to go, like, what? I have to talk
like
about what? So we're going to let her stew on that for a while before we get her primed up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's get into some background first, all right? Sex, the right talk at the right time. Mm. So as we started to explore what our next parenting series was going to be, this topic, and when I say topic, I'm not just talking about the act of sex, but things sexual in nature, whether it's biological or whether it's the sexual act or whatever, all of it starts to come out in a lot of the work that we do. People, the confusion, whether it's in the marriage or one of the kids
parenting,
one of the kids struggling with it. So it comes up a lot. And so that's one of the things that made us say, as we were kind of trying to arrive on our next series, I think we could do good to just focus in on how to approach it in these days as a parent.
Yes. And so we've broken it up into four parts. And this very first part we're going to talk about today is really the early years. What can we do as parents to help build a foundation, start a foundation that's really going to go well for our children long term? Because I'm telling you, the world right now is telling you in a whole different message that we really want to kind of attack today, because it is definitely going to lead to some really ugly, destructive things in the long term if we go about the way the culture is telling us now. And so to cover this series, we're breaking this up into the birth to preschool. And people don't normally think of the sex talk on as happening.
Yeah, that would be weird.
As little kids. But there are things you can do now if you have younger, smaller children that is really going to be important in the long run.
I think that's why I added the word, not just the sex talk, but the approach too, because there are different approaches that you can take long before your child's walking or talking.
Yeah.
And the second part is I'm going to gear slightly different in a different age group. And this is going to be more of the elementary years up through middle school. And again, we're attacking these in these different groups because different things start to occur in terms of understanding and biology and just what the society pressure is on certain issues. So we're trying to handle that at that age group. Yeah. And hon, I think I should probably say too, you might say, well, I don't really need to listen to part one because mine are all part two or beyond. And what we would say to that is, if you're struggling with something in part two, there's a very good chance that part one has
didn't
some
happen.
Gaps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it is because it's foundational. And so we could try all kinds of new techniques and you know, goodies to try in the second part. But if we don't have foundational understanding, it's going to come up empty. So it'd be worth listening to part one.
It kind of reminds me, hon, of our parenting series we did earlier in the year on discipline.
Right.
And boundaries and things like that. And we did, we called it, it's just a phase. And we were talking about how they build on one another. But we have so many teenage parents coming in saying, well, what do I do now? It's because they didn't have the foundation of part one and part two.
Right.
And we're just saying, yeah, sometimes you're going to have to lump one, two, and three together. It's not the best approach.
Right.
But these are important building blocks you've got to have for a child to feel safe, secure, and really understanding who they are in Christ, their identity, their purpose, who created them and why. And we're not doing that right now, which is why we have such confusion and so many problems in our culture today.
Yeah, for sure. So the third part, I'm going to let you do the third part by yourself. The third part, we're covering the teen years. Okay.
We're in that right now.
And so the teen years just bring a whole different host of challenges because the biology is coming into full blown. The hormones are changing. The exposures are changing in terms of what the kids are actually seeing, hearing, and all of these kinds of things. So again, so important that before we jump into the teen years, what did we do in those earlier years?
Yeah.
Because how we manage those earlier years is going to greatly impact the teen years.
You know, I taught middle school. And I had 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And so it's crazy today because the 6th graders that I see now through our Bible studies and work that we do, those kiddos are more advanced in their understanding and knowledge and experience than the 8th graders I had decades ago. And so we're really seeing this sexualization and this understanding of sex so much earlier because of the World Wide Web. So we really are going to have to get really intentional about the conversations we have with our kids and what we allow and what we don't allow really early on. So that's going to be part three.
And in the fourth part, the fourth part is it's a transitional kind of part because now we're talking to the young adults into adulthood. Okay. And so from a parenting perspective, it gets a little bit tricky just because, you know, you're not going to look at your young adult of 26 years old and say, you know, you better do this or that. But but there are still some different awarenesses that you should have, especially if they're living in your home. Okay. And also, this would be a good show for them to listen to because we are also, this is the particular show that we're bringing Meredith in, who happens to be
a young, single young adult
into this, this group. And we're going to talk about some of the pressures that are on this particular group because of cultural, because of spiritual and church. And there's a lot of different forces pulling on these people. Yeah. Okay. And so we're going to just try to step back and say, okay, which one of these do I just need to recognize? categorize and call it what it is? Yeah. And then which ones do I need to follow?
Yeah. And so you got to recognize that the messaging in our world today of the fleshly desires, you know, Satan knows. He knows that this is a fleshly passion for people, a natural desire God gave us to use for his glory in marriage, right? And Satan wants to twist that and distort that and really uglify it, if that's a word.
It is now. We use it
for his glory. And so we really have to be careful how we pursue this subject and how we treat this topic.
Hon, I just have to touch on that for a second, just because, you know, sex in many ways was the first drug that we chased after as mankind. Mm. And because it can be naturally originated through our own dopamine receptors in our brain, and the sensation, the physical sensation of sex has been long chased after. And just as you said, once we get somebody to experience that, then it can be exploited any way possible. And from, you know, we talked in one of our shows about the Sound of Freedom, the movie that is out, which an entire industry of pornography and slave trade and sex trade, all of these things rest in some of the stuff we're going to be talking about today. Yeah. And so it's so old, but it's so real, and it's so of Satan. And so we can't put our head in the sand about it, because this is not about being old fashioned. And so somebody might listen and go, well, yeah, like I'm fine back in the 50s. No, like because of the destruction that we actually see, like you might call it old fashioned, but we're just going to look at it from, well, how's it working out for us, guys? I mean, there's lots of pain, brokenness that is coming out of this.
Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And, you know, we're not going to focus today on this sex talk with children, but we really are going to spend our time talking to our kids at this age, birth through preschool, about the miracle of God and who they are in Christ, and that they are perfectly and wonderfully made in his image. And so we really want to focus our first set of time, the early years, on really Psalms 139. It's one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And it talks about, I just want to read a couple verses to you, because if we don't emphasize these truths in our children as very young, we're going to raise our children to be insecure and kind of confused. But if we raise them to know these truths, in Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, Lord, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, God, saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And when we value life according to these truths, we're not going to have an abortion issue anymore. We're not going to have identity crisis anymore or gender confusion, because children are raised to understand who made them and that God did not make junk.
And this is such a critical part. And listen, guys, you say, well, how did they bring this stuff into the sex talk? Okay. Well, again, as Linda said, we're not talking this actually to our 3-year-old or 1-year-old. What we're doing is we're living this. And so, guys, this right off the very get-go is flies right in the face of an atheistic upbringing that we all came from some mass of tissue and, you know, no special, no different than anything else. And just the idea that it's random. Mm. And so there's nothing special about it. It just happens. You were the lucky one. Okay. And so this is really reaching back to the idea of, oh no, there's something much greater and deeper. Mm-hmm. And so guys, from the beginning, we are challenging you and encouraging you to just talk about God's creation. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about that, like literally I'm talking about going out in the woods with
the trees,
with your
the birds.
Yeah, and teaching them the flow of nature, right? And how, oh my gosh, the trees lose their leaves, the leaves fall, they decompose, they bring up the nutrients for the next tree, and all of these cycles and how they run in a perfect harmony.
Yeah.
And this is not randomness, right? Mm-hmm. And so when your kids grow up with this, playing outside and seeing I'll talk about even like the idea that you point out that there's a mommy a bird and a daddy bird, and that all of that comes together throughout all of nature, that your kids start to go, I'm part of this nature.
Yes.
I'm part of God's creation versus just some randomness that was plugged in accidentally.
Yeah. And this is where our culture is telling us and feeding us lies of saying, you don't get to decide or tell a child if they're a boy or a girl. Mm. You let them decide. Mm. And that is fundamentally wrong. And it's super unhealthy for a child to grow up just ambiguously trying to figure it out. They need your help to understand you're a boy, I'm a girl. God made you, God made me. He made us different, but he made us both in his image, and it's good. And he didn't make mistakes. Like, that is primary fundamental things you talk about in the age of 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. When they start to have memories, they're going to remember that there's a God who loves them, who made them.
And I think another important thing is once they start to recognize what God has created and how man now has the responsibility to take care of what God has created for all of us. And so now not only are they being more aware of the environment, and it is important to take care of the environment,
littering, not
that the environment is our God,
no,
but just taking care of what God has created for us. And so the pollution and the littering, no, we are stewards of this earth, okay? Yep. But it also goes back to protecting themselves, knowing that, oh my gosh, I'm a creature of God. And so I also have the responsibility to protect myself.
Yep.
And this, even at a young age, so this won't be foreign to you if you have younger kids. At a young age, you should be teaching your kids about how to be aware and protected from sexual predators, from, you know, we talk about, you know, don't touch private parts, don't let your private parts be touched, all of these different things. You're protecting at a very young age what God has created.
And again, you don't have to put fear into a child. You just have to explain to them anything that's covered up by your bathing suit, nobody touches, okay? Because mommy and daddy are here to protect you. And if anybody would ever, you know, so very, very simple, right? Mm-hmm. But mommy and daddy love you. Mommy and daddy, you know, God gave you mommy and daddies to take care of you. And so that's the thing that they need to hear. They need to know they're safe. They need to know they're secure. They need to know they're loved. And that's the message that's got to happen very early on, identifying male and female.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so the next part of that is not only do we identify the male and the female, but at a young age, starting to talk about the purpose and roles of people, okay, as God intended, okay? And so the idea here that we talk about what's daddy's role? What's mommy's role? What are the role of the children? Okay. And here's where we will get people that might push back and like, well, yeah, you want the men to do this and the women to do that. No, there are a lot of different cross roles, especially in today's world where maybe a woman can do a lot of what a man can do and a man can do a lot of what a woman can do. But God has intended the wiring, the biology of a man to be one way and that of a woman to be another way. And he's also called for children to behave in a certain way, honoring their mother and father, okay? And so these are things at the very get-go, guys, that we're bringing up in our home. And dad, you need to be respecting mom for the role that she takes and that you guys develop in your home. Mom, you have got to be respecting dad for the role that he takes. And the two of you encourage those roles and you define those roles, okay? When I say roles, that's not dad, you do 50% of the laundry and mom, you do 50%. percent laundry. It means what is the position going to be in terms of, you know, where the buck stops and who's going to take care of certain things in terms of taking care of this family? Mm-hmm. Because this is where your kids, this is where it clears up confusion. Mm-hmm. I don't know who does what at my mm-hmm. house. No, allow your kids to see who does what. Mm-hmm.
And simple things like mommies have babies, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we're talking simple things now that we're literally trying to recreate the wheel. We're trying to change the forces of nature and have kids understand that or like it makes sense. And so use God-ordained words, okay? Mm. Don't use foul words or slang that are going to just take them down that road. Use appropriate language at appropriate ages about body parts, mm-hmm. okay? And obviously you want to protect your child's eyes and ears from inappropriate things. As a children's minister, I actually had situations where a child in a preschool or nursery was recreating a sexual position or a sexual act because of something they had seen way too early. And so we want to protect our children. That is not something that we want to expose these young children to, especially if you think they're not watching and you're watching a pornographic show with your husband or a movie with your friend. Like, please, they do watch, they do hear, and you want to protect them from those things at this age.
Yeah. And it also kind of leads me. So, you know, we talked about the roles and things like that and protecting the mm-hmm. kids and trying to get everybody to understand. And so sometimes I think as parents, when our kids push back a little bit, we make statements, you do this because I said so, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. so you should follow the roles that I've given because mm-hmm. I said so. Mm-hmm. And I think at a very young age, when our kids are able to start to comprehend, we should let them know that you're not the boss as parents, that God is the ultimate authority. Yeah. And so constantly referring, guys, the reason why we do this in our home is because this is the way God designs it, right? And so they ultimately then see that you are being obedient to God's word. Yeah. That, you know, yeah, there's some things that you might think you want to do differently, but even you are trying to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And so this starts to creep in when our kids are 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old, that they see even you have ways that you are to follow that are orchestrated by God.
In these early years, we do not recommend any kind of video games or movies that you are not co-viewing, because unfortunately, we live in a culture, in a world that is so sexualized that they are targeting littler and littler children. And so please, please protect them from those videos. Make sure there's filters and blocks, and, you know, just don't can your child your phone and let them watch YouTube. I mean, it's really very dangerous, even our music that they're listening to. We want to really protect that and, you know, be careful with what they're watching and viewing.
Okay. So we've gone through a lot of different things about what we can do. Okay. And Hunt, a couple times you touched on some things not to do, but I think we really want to get very clear on some things that not to do them and why.
Yeah.
Okay. Hun, we hear this statement, and this even outside of the sexual statement, it can be about faith, it can be a lot of different things. And so we're saying or pushing back on you when we make statements like they can make their own decisions concerning these sexual matters when they want to choose. And why would we say not to do that is because you're putting a level of authority on a child.
And decision making.
Yeah, much less an adult. When all of this came from God, God was the creator. And so the idea that we would randomly just run from the responsibility and put that on our kids. And we can't blame our kids, guys, when they make decisions that turn out to be confusing, cause psychological problems, distressing. And it's because, oh my gosh, we basically, you know, in a weird way, would you give your three-year-old a gun?
Yeah.
No, like, there are so many responsibilities in them making some of these decisions. So you don't just randomly let them make these decisions.
Yeah. So please just avoid those kind of conversations and let them making those decisions about such important things versus like sexualization or faith, you know, money. You know, you're not going to hand a three-year-old $100 bill and just let them willy-nilly buy whatever they want. Like, you're still the parent and they're still very young and immature and their decisions are not going to be healthy. Just assume they're not. So God God has put you in charge to help them. You know, we also don't want to promote ideas and attitudes that go against God's way and God's word. And that's just, again, we're coming from a biblical perspective, mm-hmm. a biblical worldview, but we have seen this play out in the long run. And when we just let them just, you know, whatever they want, it doesn't play out well long term.
Let me get specific here with the risk of, you know, offending people, because I was offended by this when I first heard it, because this is in our family. Like the idea, let's say I have a 5 or 6 or 7 year old, and we have a family member or a friend member that is living a homosexual lifestyle. And we are called to love that person. But it's so easy to fall into the idea of, oh, it's guys, it's just the way that they choose and it's okay. That's not what God's word says. He mm-hmm. says the person, we love the person, but to promote the idea that mm-hmm. the homosexual lifestyle is okay is only setting our kids up for more hurt and confusion down the road. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of those, an example of one of those topics. That's not an easy one. Yep. All right. And the world is telling us every day that that lifestyle is fine and great. Mm-hmm. And what we're saying is well, it's going against God's nature. All right. Mm-hmm. The homosexual lifestyle is not going to be able to procreate. All right. However, we do see it and we love those people. We have friends that are living that lifestyle. And it's like, we still love the people. Mm-hmm. It's no different than the uncle that I have that's an alcoholic or the neighbor that mm-hmm. I have that's been struggling with drugs, okay? I'm not going to say, well, everybody's doing drugs, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's going against God's nature. It's hurting the body.
Yeah. And so we just got to be aware that even when we live that kind of lifestyle, like we have a lot of people that walk in our door that are trying to do better for their kids, but they're living together. They're not married. And so same thing, it doesn't have to be a homosexual lifestyle. It
right.
could be, you know, an outside of God's will, heterosexual lifestyle. We don't want to expose our children to the things that go against God's word in a way that, like you said, condones it.
Right.
You're not going to be able to shelter them from the world in general. But at right. this very young age, it's not really something you want to explain to them as far as, you know, the gay lesbian couple next door. Mm-hmm. It really is too young for them to even have a concept of what that means. So please try to limit that exposure so that it doesn't confuse them and really scare them even more.
Yeah. Another point is, and guys, this is creeping into our schools. And I will tell you, a lot of times I hear in the news that this is, or I hear people talking about this is happening in our schools. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's really happening. Well, what I'm getting ready to share happened in my school, okay, when I was a counselor there. And that is steering away from using the term boy and girl as the gender role, okay? And so that promotion of, you know what, from now on, let's not refer to the children by their gender, by boy or girl.
Or dividing them up.
Or dividing them up by boy and girl. And it's like, first off, don't run from that. I mean, stand up to that. Because as soon as you say, well, from now on, none of you are boys or girls, you instantly, you may have made one kid go, oh yeah, that fits me. And you made 29 of the other in the 30 class completely confused and distracted. Okay. And so that sort of talk and propaganda is really causing a lot of harm to kids. And so our biology is very apparent, boys and girls. It's only humans that have tried to confuse it.
Yeah, yeah. So invite those conversations and help clear up any confusion your kids, because they are going to hear. They're going to hear about the boy in the class that has two moms, okay? And so when you hear those kind of conversations coming from your preschooler, you're going to say, okay, well, God loves them too, but God made us to have a mommy and a daddy, okay? And that's the way God wants us to have it. So like very early on, if it's approached or if it's confronted to them, please don't dismiss it or don't ignore it, because it's just going to put them in more confusion. Invite the conversation and clear up the confusion according to God's word.
Very good. Very good. Okay. So this is a reality that we see in many of our homes as we're, those kiddos are coming into the ages of 3, 4, 5, 6, that sometimes we see them maybe step out or act out of the what we might think of as stereotypical boy or girl roles. And so an example might be that we see our young son who's starting to play with Barbie dolls, okay? And so, you know, how do we handle these things? And so first off, you know, these are all points of exploration of kids, okay? And they're, so the first thing is, we're not going to lose our mind. What we're gonna do is we're gonna observe. And you might find that this little boy has just been watching his older sister play with Barbies, and he just like, well, I just wanna be part of the party here, okay? And so he plays with them, and you just kind of watch his interest and see what happens with that. And what you find almost always, okay, and there are exceptions to that, but almost always you find it's very short lived, right? And kids, they do it for a few weeks or months or whatever, and then they're just not interested, okay? So when you see those sort of things, first off, don't lose your mind and chastise the kid, okay?
Don't overreact.
No, don't overreact. Just let that, let it occur, all right? And let itself work its way out, okay? Also, like, you need to see what they're doing with these toys, okay? Are they already exploring sexual natures with them, undressing them and talking about their body parts and doing these kind of things? These are places where we want to hover around and have some conversation with our kids, even at younger ages, like, well, you know, that's the parts of a boy or that's the parts of a girl, and trying to help. Remember, all of the anxiety that comes about is due to confusion. All right. And so we are trying to let God's word be the clear path. It's the clear path. And so we're trying to alleviate the confusion by directing them to God's word.
Now, obviously, when they're little preschoolers, toddlers, they're not understanding sexualization, but you also want to help them teach modesty as well. So we have a little phrase with our grandkiddos, naked as a jaybird. And usually that's when they're coming out of the bathtub, right? They're getting their jammies on. But what we want to do is teach them modesty as well. And we want to teach them about covering up their private parts. So they're not running around the neighborhood or, you know, going down the street on their bike naked. We want to teach them how to live in this world. And that world, unfortunately, it may be so innocent for your little toddler, but you never know the sick man that's across the street, you know, lusting over your child. And so that's the sick reality of our world today. And so, again, we don't want to scare our kids, but we also want to teach them modesty and understanding of covering up those parts. And even though that makes us different, you know, right? But we want to help them understand how to protect themselves.
And I think that's the key word right there, right, hon? We're what they have is special, and it now needs to be protected. And if they're used to it, just exposing themselves and so on, they don't think it's any different than exposing their finger, okay? And so it's like, no, this is unique to you and special, and so we want to protect it.
I want to mention this right here, because I've had this several times where we had toddlers or preschoolers kind of exploring other little preschoolers sexually. Maybe they're playing doctor or they're touching each other. And I'll have parents kind of freak out, right? And really go over the top crazy about it. And what I try to help those parents understand is, please, just like your son playing with Barbie dolls, don't overreact, because you're going to scare them into what in the world was so wrong with that. But again, this is a teaching opportunity to say, hey, we don't touch each other's private parts, okay? We want to keep them covered. We want to protect ourselves. And so we just don't lose our mind. You don't have to call 911 or DCS on the child next door because, again, it's natural. But please teach them. Use it as a learning tool for, again, down the road.
Such a great thing, hon, because, I mean, in the elementary school that I worked at, we would occasionally have a situation that would come into our office or a phone call from a parent where you'd get a third grader, you know, second grade, third grade, maybe even fourth grade, where there was maybe some what we would consider inappropriate touching. And, you know, they're still into exploration. I'm not saying to disregard it, because we do want to look into it, because there could be something behind it. But I think we have to be really careful with right away making that boy some sort of sex criminal in fourth grade because he inappropriately touched a girl, okay? Mm-hmm. What we have to do is we have to grab it, as you said, hon, and say, okay, well, let's talk here. Let's make sure we clear all this up and start teaching just the modesty and the appropriate way to handle that. Again, that being said, if we start to recognize patterns of behavior like this, then it's a different situation.
You know, unfortunately, hon, you and I have worked in the schools and the churches for long enough to know that there are people out there who want to sexually abuse and, exploit young children. And so Matthew 18:6 says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. And I have felt that way before when I've had a child, a teen, come to me about some sexual abuse that they experienced as a young child or by a friend or family member. And it just makes me sick to my stomach. But the reality is we have that happening all over our world today. And so you've got to be vigilant, mom and dad. If you all of a sudden see a child regress, maybe they start bedwetting or maybe they start getting scared of somebody they used to be very friendly with, like, please, please do not ignore those red flags. There needs to be some follow-up on why. What is it they're afraid of? What did anything happen? That's when you're going to have to dig a little deeper just to make sure, because you and I have handled way too many clients that they stuffed that pain for 20, 30, 40 years, and then it still was haunting them from what happened to them as a small child.
And as you talk about that, I think some of us could look at the old pervert across the street and we quickly say, oh, that guy needs the millstone tied around his neck. But guys, I think I want to push back a little bit and understand how, as a culture, we have sexualized our entire culture. And so we have opened the door to our kids basically being set up for a lot of destruction and harm in these areas. Everything from, you know, we were very permissive, and then all of a sudden our daughter is out dating, and maybe the clothes she's wearing or how far she's willing to go. And the next thing you know, she's wondering why either people are talking bad about her or, you know, God forbid she's pregnant or whatever way before she's ready. And, you know, as a parent, we carry some responsibility. And so that millstone that we're talking about, you know, maybe we weren't acting out of ill intention, but we still had, we missed our protective role of saying, oh my gosh, we just allowed our kid to be totally normalized in a very sexual culture. And they fell right into it because it just seemed normal.
Or a teenage boy, you know, all pornography, everybody's doing it. But I have had way too many, and it just makes me furious to think about this, way too many teenage boys who viewed pornography and then went and acted on it with a cousin, with a sibling, and with a neighbor, a babysitter kid. And that's the kind of thing we've got to do something about. We have got to realize that it is all part of our world just trying to, like you said, normalize something that is so depraved and so against what God wants for us and our families.
So again, guys, we're, you know, we're not dealing with these one-off types of things. The way we're approaching this is, man, let's start just in our general lifestyle of how we're approaching these topics. And that's why we're starting all the way at little kids' birth time, right? All the way up through there, so that you start to think twice about just how you're handling even the sexual nature in your own home, okay? And so I think that's what we're trying to get you to get after here. As we said before, maybe this is the first time you're hearing the show, and recently you found out that one of your son or something is struggling with pornography. Okay, listen, that's part of what the world's doing, right? And so we can't throw our hands up and go, oh my gosh, we've already lost the battle. What we do is we dig back in and we go, okay, now how do I address this particular situation? And that's, we do a lot of that at Rock Solid Families when people come in just for those reasons.
So remember, in these early years, you are laying groundwork as mom and dad for what your child will build on as a teen and going through puberty. So the work begins now. And if you have a child and you think, oh, a teenager, and you think, oh, it's too late, then we're saying go back to some of these these basic principles and help your children understand. We have got to do a better job helping our teenagers understand their identity and their purpose in Christ and who created them and why they're here. So many kids do not understand that.
Well, they identify as a sexual being rather than a child of God. And so that right off the get-go is the first state of confusion.
Yeah.
Okay. We are not created just for our sex. Okay. How about this? Some kids think they're just created to be athletes, right? They're just created to be artists. And so we are not created to just be that one thing. We are much bigger than that. We don't want to get stuck in that one thing.
So this was a beginning of a great series.
Three more weeks, I think we'll do.
There's so much to go through. And we hope that you will join us. Please, please share this show. If you're not in this stage, there is somebody you know that is, and maybe it's your grandchildren you're talking about or wanting to share this with. I mean, please, as we close, we want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction for their support of what we're doing and trying to prepare and equip our families and for what they do in our community.
All right. So thanks again for listening to Rock Solid Family Podcast, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home.